Hello, friends. Life is a journey. What's your story? Well, I have a director, writer, actor, Rachel Suissa, with me today. She's got quite a story. And I want to say opa, Rachel, because not only you are a Floridian, but you have a wonderful film debuting May 9th. Tell us all about this movie, which seems very autobiographical, Greek Mothers Never Die. Talk to us about this movie, what it's about, and what led you to do this.
Absolutely. Hi, Nanette, and hi, everybody. I'm very happy to be with you all, and I can't wait to talk to you about the movie Opa, exactly like you said. That's an Opa movie. So it's called Greek Mothers Never Die, and it's a supernatural romantic comedy, and with a love triangle. Of course, there is a love story with between the boy and the girl, but the most powerful story is the mother-daughter love story, and it's true that it's very appropriate for Mother's Day, so it's a perfect release. I guess I can give the pitch of the movie. What do you think?
Yes, I think describe the plot of the movie, and then we're going to talk about your background You know, you and the fact that your family ran a Greek restaurant in Paris, France. We'll end up with that because I can't wait to hear all about that. Let's start Greek Mothers Never Die. I'm going to say Jewish Mothers Never Die either, but that's okay. There are a lot of parallels.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, my mom is Greek. My dad was Jewish. So for me, it's like all the same, you know? And between, just like I said, a Greek mother is like a Jewish mother, but with the feta cheese, you know? It's and more olive oil, but it's the same. It's really a universal story that really we can relate to any loving mother, no matter if she's Greek or not. And it just happened that mine is Greek, so that's why it's called Greek Mothers Never Die. And it's a really fun story that is based on, of course, my Greek roots. And it's about a mother-daughter relationship. And they, during the Greek economic crisis in 2011, they leave Greece. They run away from Greece for a better life in America. And only both have a very different notion of what is the American dream. And the American dream of the mother is obviously for the daughter to take over the restaurant and marry the right guy and stay to live with her mom forever. And the daughter has a very different dream. She wants to be a singer and she wants to explore and she wants to be more of a narcissist like her dad used to be. And so the mother always keep threatening her daughter of death. If you leave me, I'll die. If you do this, I'll die. If you are with the wrong guy, I'll die. And one day they have a terrible fight about the future of the daughter, Ella, and the mother again threatens her to die. Only when the daughter say, well, you know what? If you really want to die, just die. What happened at that moment? She does drop dead. So watch out for what you wish for. And the daughter thinks that finally, maybe even if it's a very, very, very sad thing, and maybe she feels that now she's going to maybe be free to live her life, you know, as it was meant to be. Only the mother comes back the same night as a ghost to keep haunting her for good this time. So that's the plot of the story.
and the nerdy boy that she grew up with, Nick, and their friendship turned into love, but, you know, she never saw him again. And then Nick resurfaces as a handsome doctor and something of a playboy. Did this ever really happen to you?
Well, many things are autobiographical, and it's true that, you know, there is this element of because the character of Nick in this story represents is the opposite of Ella. Let's say that Ella and Nick started both nerdy, not perfect looking, not the most popular, but actually they were really themselves. They were true to their roots, and they were happy. And then Nick became Mr. Popular, so he got part, you know, of a different clique, and then he kind of forgot his roots and forgot his true self and felt that to be reunited with who he truly is would make him less lovable, because now he had changed physically and all that. And so Ella is the constant reminder of who he truly is. So in the beginning of the movie, it's really hard for him to face her and face his true self, but then he evolves. And that's, yes, it's something that happens to me very often with in my life. With you know, it's always about transformation. You know, you want to, when you are a kid, you want, you know, you don't even think about how you look and all that, and then when you grow up, you see that everyone takes a different role and embrace a different mask, and you know, you'll have the boyfriend that suddenly becomes very handsome when you are just who you are, you know, the girl next door.
Right. Well, I got you. I saw the pictures. You're not the girl next door. You have a role as one of the lead roles in the film, as well as being the director, writer, and producer. Who do you play?
I'm the mother.
You're the mother?
Yes. Yes.
You're Despina? Oh, my God.
Yes. So when I wrote the movie, I was actually young enough to play the daughter, and something happened.
That's the film business for you.
Yes, oh my God, yes, it's because it started as a one-woman show, and I was identified to Ella, the daughter, and I was the one that wanted to be an artist, I wanted to be an actress, and my mom wanted me to take over the restaurant, so it was super autobiographical, and the beginning of the movie is actually really the beginning of my one-woman show back then at the time in Paris. And then I start writing the movie version, my dream movie version of that one-woman show. But, you know, it took a long time because it was in between other things I was doing. And now when it came time to really do this movie, I was like, wait a minute, maybe now I shouldn't be the daughter. Maybe now it's time for me to be the mother. And that was what was meant to be since the beginning, really, because now I really understand my mom now. Yes.
Well, I want to brag on you, so let me do a little bragging. First of all, she's very humble, so she has, in addition to authoring and staging theatrical works in Paris, you starred in French television shows, you worked in major feature films, and for Netflix, you wrote and directed the worldwide hit film Dangerous Liaisons, yes. And then this movie is your first American independent feature film. And you wrote, directed, and produced it on Amelia Island, Florida, one of our favorite places. It's had an epic festival run. You've won Best Director, Best Comedy, Best Fiction, Best Performance. It's being released by Gravitas Ventures on Mother's Day in May 2025. And you're showing it May 9th. Tell us about the Newport Richie run.
Yes, I mean, this makes me so happy. The movie is going to be screened for the whole weekend of Mother's Day, the 9th of May at 6 o'clock, the 10th also of May at 6 o'clock, and of course on Mother's Day at 2 o'clock p.m., and I'll be there with the actors. Some of the actors will do a Q&A, and on Mother's Day, it's going to be a very beautiful event, a very special thing. And what is wonderful is that it's basically almost on Greek territory, you know, and this is where the movie started.
Right, Carpenter Springs, right?
Yeah,
right?
Carpenter Springs, and there is. I shot also in Carpenter Springs for the movie. The movie was shot mainly in Amelia Island, but you cannot recreate a fictional island rule with Greek people if you do not have Tarpon Spring also involved, you know, that's impossible. So it had to be a mix between Tarpon Spring and Amelia Island, and that's how I created the magical colony called the Socrates Island in the movie. So I can't wait for people of Tarpon Spring to see what I did with the movie, and also to recognize there is some cameo there of big figures of Tarpon Spring. So I can't wait for them to come to Port Richey and Cinema 6 is supporting indie movies, and they made us the great honor, you know, to take the movie for those three special days. So I'm very happy about that.
I wish I could be there. You know, it's going to be incredible. But I want to ask you, which restaurant did you use in Tarpon Springs for some of the filming?
So I all my establishment shot when I do present Socrates Island. I used the Mykonos restaurant, the Zorba restaurant. I mean which one was it? Dimitris restaurant. I mean, most of the restaurants, I know them by their name, you know, by the name of the owner. But also not just the restaurant, but also all the little beautiful spots that are there. The special, there is a very special marketplace inside, like an alcove with a huge boat inside, and you have fresh olives, fresh feta cheese. Of course, the Irini, the Greek supermarket that is there. I mean, everything that makes Tarpon Spring being Greece, but in America, because it truly is that feeling. I mean, all the name of the street that is written in Greek, all this you'll find the two neighbors that play tavli, drinking their Greek coffee. The Redzina. Of course, the Redzina. You'll see the Greek bakery with the best Greek bread, that they won 5 years straight.
Korabiefes, the Korabiefes. Let's not forget the Korabiefes, right? And then the Greek wedding cookies, right?
My God, it was Pascha, so it was the Greek Easter, so we were full of Korabiefes for that. And yes, all this, everything that is the juice, that is what makes Greece unique. And in the movie, it's just like in Tarpon Spring, Greek people that came from Greece for a better life to start fresh, they at the same time have all those dreams, of making a better life for their kids and grandkids, but at the same time they made it very important to keep their roots alive and to keep being who they were. So it's this wonderful mix and nostalgia also that you find in the movie with what it is to feel Greek, to be Greek, to live Greece every day, but being away from the country itself,
Absolutely. And, I understand that you're also launching your third feature film and a second American independent movie, The Americans.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, that's also a very exciting project. So it's going to be the third one. So, my first one was the big global movie with a lot of millions. My second one was the indie movie that comes straight from the heart, that was made with a lot of passionate people that helped out. And for this one, I think it's going to be a bigger budget. We're working on that right now, finding great investments. So we are very, very happy. And it's called The Americans. And it's again an American Greek comedy. I mean, where I bring together my Greek roots and also the American pop culture that I love. And but this time it's a very different story. It's a straight pure comedy, and it's the story of three American guys that are city boys. One of them, of course, is Greek, and they are trapped in Astoria. They are in their everyday life in New York, and they do not realize that maybe they are missing something. That maybe they are not where the young themselves thought they would be in their 30s. And so one day, after a night of drinking a lot because of events, they decide to go for the dream. They put all their money, all their savings, in the dream bar in a sunny island in Mykonos, Greece, because that was their dream of when they were younger. And only when they arrive in Mykonos, Greece, they cannot find the bar because they misread a letter. It's not the island of Mykonos. It's the island of Mykonos with a Rama and not a Kappa. And it has nothing to do with magical Mykonos Island. It's a very obscure, small island that is very anti-touristical, anti-American, anti-development, and that is the last untouched island of Greece.
So, oh boy, I can't wait. This sounds like a lot of fun. Now, I must ask you, is your mother still with us?
She's not a ghost yet, I have to say.
Will she be at the Newport Richie screening?
No, sadly, no. I mean, the best moments of our life here in America, my best moments that I remember is when she lived for a few months in Tarpon Spring, but then for health reasons, she had to go back to France. So people know her in Tarpon Spring. They all know my mom with her little cart going to the groceries every day. Seems as if she was still running her restaurant when it was only three people to feed, me and the kids. But
right.
But so people still have this memory of my mom. And my mom now, she's stuck in France. She can't get out of her room anymore. She's not in the greatest health, but she follows everything, everything that I'm doing, every, like, you know, I'll retranscribe. I know she'll find a way to listen to our radio show right now. You know, when and she follows everything. You know, since she was here, and that's that's the reason why I wanted to do this movie this way, because my ultimate goal was for her to leave a trace in this world, and to see the impact that she could have through this movie as she's still with us. And I have a feeling that there'll be an impact, because it's a movie very warm that gives a lot of hope to people to resolve their unfinished business. And it leaves you feeling good at the end, you know, I think. So, yeah.
I just can't wait. I can't wait to see it. And I want to thank you so much for being with us today, Rachel. I have to say, I think it is so interesting. You're a director, a writer, a producer. You love movies. What were some of your favorite movies that inspired you in the past years?
Oof. Oh, my God. That's a very good question. There are so many different genre of movies, you know. I'm a big fan of supernatural, of course. So I was every time that there would be a supernatural comedy, something that gives you a little bit of hope, you know, that there is something more. You can be sure that I watched it. One of the most, I mean, even if it's still a movie with a big budget, but one of the most, one of the movies of the 2000s that really awakened something inside of me was Eternal Spotlight of the. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I was just thinking about that. That is exactly right. Right.
Yes, and you know that in one point when Ella and when my characters were meeting in the most a place that the mask can finally talk, can finally fall. I was making a reference to that movie, and that was their movie, and Meet Me in Montauk, and all that. And then the movie was so long, because it's already a 2-hour long movie, that I cut all that. But in this movie, there are a lot of influences of other movies. Even there is a little homage of Pulp Fiction in this movie, but I know you won't find it, but it's there. It's the whole scene. There is a scene where the girl. Ask the boy to take out all his clothes. I don't know if you remember that scene. Because
I most certainly do.
Well, there is a scene that marked me, that is one of my favorite scenes in Pulp Fiction, and I made an homage to that scene. So I have a lot of little jewels like that, little presents in the movie that are that of other movies that that inspired me when I was younger, you know, to do this.
Wonderful.
My life, yes.
Well, I love the tagline, Greek Mothers Never Die, a film by Rachel Suissa, even death can't split them up. And I want to just read something that came from your press kit, because I think it's so interesting.
Yeah.
It's, you know, really, it's an awkward romance of passionate people who often lose their way without a little help. And it's a Homeric journey of a girl learning how to live and thrive in the shadow of an overprotective mother. You know, only a wonderful Greek writer would write a Homeric journey.
Oh, thank
right?
you. Oh, my God, yes.
I mean, this is not just a movie of transformation. It's an epic movie that really, I think you have, you know, I just watched No One Wants This with Kristen Bell, who's the Shiksa, right? And so we see into the Jewish culture. And with this, we see not only into the Greek culture, but the meaning of what love and family really means, and how food brings us back, just like, you know, Marcel Proust used to say, right? Remembrance of things past.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. La Madeleine. Yes. Yes. I mean, it's you nailed it. It's everything that I wanted to transpire in this movie. And it is a ride. And it is also a little miracle that we were able to make this movie over. It's a movie that takes place over 25 years. That I say it's Homeric because, just like in the epopee of Homer, it starts in one place and ends up in a completely different universe. you know?
Right. So folks, we've been talking with Rachel Suissa on May 9th, 10th, and 11th. You can join her for a special Q&A. She's an actress, writer, director, and lead actor Wade Hunt Williams. He's a hunk. We'll be there. It'll be at Cinema 6, 9510 US 19 Port Richey. Please go to their website for the movie theater, for the Times. And Rachel, parting words for our listeners about this wonderful film, Greek Mothers Never Die, just in time for Mother's Day.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I hope to see you there. I will be there. And I hope you're going to enjoy the show. Thank you, Nanette, for having me.
Thank you so much, Rachel, for Radio St. Pete. I'm your host, Annette Weiser. Join us again for another look inside films that matter. Bye-bye, Rachel.
Bye, Nanette. Bye, everybody.